Praise the Lord. Dear friends, we are meditating on the prayer Jesus taught, the prayer we call the Lord's Prayer. We have been studying the background of this prayer. We have been also studying the introduction to this prayer. We saw that Jesus taught us to call God Abba, our Father in heaven. In the previous talk, we concentrated on the appellation, the invocation, invoking God as Abba, calling him as my dearest Father, not my dearest Father, our dearest Father, that God is our Father, the Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, the one who created the whole world by a word, the Almighty One. He is our dear Father. The invocation focuses at the same time on the transcendence of God, the Almighty, the Heavenly One, and also his intimate closeness to us, our dear Father. Our dear Father, this invocation also concentrates on the collegiality, the brotherhood and sisterhood of the human family, that all human beings are brothers and sisters to each other because all of them, all of us, belong to the same Father. We are taught to call God our Father in heaven. But when we look around, we see a lot of situations which somehow belie this invocation. When we say that God is our Father, loving Father, merciful and kind, the Almighty Creator and Redeemer, we see a lot of situations of oppression. People who are being exploited, people who go hungry. More than one third of the entire world, more than 200 crores of people go without enough of food. Millions and millions of children die of malnutrition. The reality of poverty, the reality of misery, natural as well as man-made, make it difficult to call God dear Father. If God is our dear Father, and if he is almighty, then why is it that millions of children die of malnutrition? That millions of people are being born handicapped, blind, deaf, physically handicapped, mentally retarded, and all the natural calamities that destroy human life, wipe away millions of people by drought, floods, earthquakes, all these natural calamities, diseases, somehow make it difficult to call God Father. Again, man-made disasters, terrorism, horrors of war, and all those people who suffer such disasters find it difficult to call God Father. So many come to the conclusion that either God is not omnipotent or he is not Father. How can the justice and mercy of God be reconciled with the misery of people? This is a problem as old as the book of Job. In chapter 13 of the book of Job, verses 13 to 15, we see this. Let me have silence, and I will speak, and let come on me what may. I'll take my flesh in my teeth, and put my life in my hand. See, he will kill me. I have no hope, but I'll defend my ways to his face. Job is rebelling against God and his apparent injustice. Job is a person who undergoes untold suffering. A person who was just in all his ways. He was rich, healthy, and had 10 children, healthy children. A very just man. All on a sudden, he lost everything. He lost all his children in an accident. He lost his wealth, and finally his health. And now he knows all this has been done to him by God. In chapter 16, verses 12 and 13, we read like this. I was at ease, and he broke me in two. He seized me by the neck and dashed me to pieces. He set me up as his target, his archers around me. His slashes opened my kidneys and shows no mercy. He pours out my gall on the ground. So the sufferings of humanity becomes an occasion of blaspheming God. Looking around, we are tempted to say that humanity is not the children of God, but orphans, at the mercy of some evil forces. Against this reality, Jesus is asking us to pray. To pray to God, addressing him, our dear Father. And what are we asked to pray? The first petition comes like this. Hallowed be thy name. Our dear Father in heaven, your name be made holy. That's the first petition. Your name. What does it mean, the name? Name is a definition of a reality, of an object, be it person or whatever. The name somehow defines the person, defines the content. For example, in the book of Genesis, we are told about the creation of the first human being, Adam. The name or the word Adam comes from the Hebrew word Adama, means soil. So Adam is the one who is taken from the soil of the earth. He is fragile, he is mortal, he is perishable. So Adam means a mortal taken from the soil. Another name is, for example, Abraham. Abraham is a familiar name. But before this name was given to him, the person was called Abram. Abram is called from Haran, and he has been given promises. At a certain point in his life, God appears to him and changes his name, giving a new name. We read it in Genesis chapter 17, verses 4 and 5. As for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. Abraham. Abraham means the father of nations. So this is a definition, at the same time, a vocation, a challenge given to Abraham to be the father of the nations. A similar change of name happens with many other individuals. Say, for example, Peter. Peter was formerly called Simeon or Simon. I mean the weak, the fragile, the brittle, breakable. And he is now given a new name. When Andrew brought his brother Simeon to Jesus, Jesus gives him a new name. In John, Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 41 and 42. Andrew first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated, anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter, the rock. Simon is called Peter or Cephas, meaning the rock. Rock on which Jesus is going to build His church. So name defines the person. Name indicates who the person is. Now Jesus is asking us to pray, Father, let thy name be made holy. So what is the name of God? The name of God would not be revealed, it was said, when Jacob was encountered by a stranger at night on the bank of River Jabbok. Jacob asked, what is your name? Genesis chapter 32, verse 29. Then Jacob asked him, please tell me your name. But he said, why is it that you ask my name? And the name was not revealed. God was strengthening the runaway Jacob and making him Israel. But God did not reveal the name. But this name was revealed. God revealed his name in the context of Exodus. When he came down to call Moses and make him the agent of liberation, the leader of the Exodus, to bring the people out of the slavery in Egypt, Moses asked God, what is your name? Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 to 15. Moses said to God, if I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said further, thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, thus you shall say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this my title for all generations. I am who I am. Yahweh is how you pronounce it. Some call it Yehovah. Yahweh is the name, a holy name, a name that is unutterable. The Jews, out of respect for God's name, will never pronounce the name. And this means I am. And that is translated as Lord, the Lord. God reveals his name in the context of Exodus. And people would know who God is by when he leads the people out of slavery. This is further explained in Exodus chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. You shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has freed you from the burdens of Egypt. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give you to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord. The Lord is the name of God. The Lord, Yahweh, is the one who reveals himself by liberating the oppressed. And this is the name. The name points to a reality of God, the liberator. And this name is being revealed when God liberates people out of slavery. This name is further explained in the New Testament. Jesus did not use the name Yahweh. For Jesus, God is Father. The one who revealed his name as Yahweh in the Old Testament in the context of Exodus, and this name was being repeated again and again, and was told that this shall be the name by which God will be known throughout the generations, now reveals himself as Father. Dear Father. So Jesus gives the name of God, the Father. But we know further that God is not only Father, God is Son. God is the Holy Spirit. So the name of God is the person of God. Somehow in the Bible, we see a distinction between God and the name. The more the emphasis on the holiness of God, the transcendence of God, the more the use of the name. Say, for example, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 12, verse 21, You see, God establishing his name, the place he chooses to establish his name, the name, the residence of the name, the house of the name of God, somehow becomes a parallel to God, another word for using God. The God's transcendence and God's nearness emphasized, explained through the term name, your person. Now, the name points to the personality of God, the person of God, one whom we call God. So, this is the name of God. And what does it mean? Be made holy, hallowed. God is holy by himself. How can his name be made holy? If it is already holy, how can it be made further holy? First of all, hallowed be thy name. May be made holy. This is a passive voice. It is something that has yet to happen. So what is holy? What does it mean? Holy means separate, set apart, set aside, Kodesh in Hebrew. So God in his transcendence is said to be holy. God who is above, God who is beyond, who lives in unapproachable light, God the transcendent, the Holy One. So that is the existential holiness, God the totally other. That is what Jesus said when he taught us to call God Father in heaven, the Holy One who is in heaven. But this holiness has got another dimension also. That is an ethical, a moral dimension. One is ethically holy, morally holy, when one lives according to ethical, moral laws. So here, God is holy because there is no sin in him. There is nothing evil in him. Again, how can this be made holy? How does God make his name holy? How is it possible? Here, we have to look into the other possibility. How can God's name be made unholy? How can God's name be profanated? There are a lot of instances presented in the Bible where God's name is not holy, where God is blasphemed, where his holiness is not visible. I'll take just two examples. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 19, "And you shall not swear falsely by my name, profaning the name of your God, I am the Lord." I am the Lord. You shall not profane my name. You profane my name when you swear falsely. When you use my name to make a swearing, to establish untruth, a falsehood as truth. So you make me a witness of untruth. You take my name in vain. This is a commandment, the second commandment of the Ten Commandments. You shall not make use of the name of God in vain. Leviticus 20, verse 3. "I myself will set my face against them and will cut them off from the people because they have given off their offspring to Molech, defiling my sanctuary and profaning my holy name." So you shall not profane my name. The name of God is profaned by injustice, by oppression, by falsehood, by idolatry. So the situation about which he spoke at the beginning, the situation of exploitation, oppression of the weak, starvation, and death by starvation, terrorism, all these are instances where God's name is being profanated. Now Jesus is asking us to pray, "Father, let thy name be made holy. Let such oppression, such profanation cease, come to an end. Father, manifest your holiness. Manifest the holiness of your name in and through us." In the book of Isaiah, chapter 5, verse 16, we read, "But the Lord of hosts is exalted by justice, and the holy God shows himself holy by righteousness." God shows himself holy by righteousness. It is by the righteous life of the individuals and the communities who believe in God, who profess the name of God, that the holiness of God is being manifested. So the prayer is a prayer, at the same time it is a challenge to all the believers, to all humans, to live a life of holiness according to God's commandments, by which the holiness of God will be revealed in and through us. By creating just social structures, by being merciful to each other, by being just and loving, kind and merciful, we make the name of God holy. And God reveals His holiness, God sanctifies His name in and through us. By praising God alone, by singing holy, holy, holy alone, the holiness is not being manifested. Of course, the liturgical prayer and all this singing can manifest, provided this has the backing of a moral, ethical life according to the commandments. Now, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for allowing us to call you Father. Father, let thy name be made holy. Let thy holiness become manifest in the world by bringing an end to all terrorism, all oppression, starvation, and injustice. Let thy holy name be manifested through justice and mercy and kindness among all the human beings, because we know the glory of God, glory of thy name, is resplendent on the face of the human beings. Let thy holiness express itself in and through us. We make this prayer through Christ our Lord. Amen.
This program comes to you from the House of God, Divine Retreat Center, where residential retreats are held in 7 languages starting every Sunday to Friday, 52 weeks of the year. Send your responses, inquiries, and prayer requests to the Director, Divine Vision, Divine Retreat Center, Murignur, Chalakudi, 680316, Kerala, South India. Telephone 91480-270-8098. Email divine@md2.vsnl.net.in.